Let us open to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We will read through the end of chapter 6 and through chapter 7, which is the sixth seal, and we'll begin with verse 12. This is what the Lord has said in Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. So we begin today to look at this third portion of the sixth seal. We have noticed that the first opening scene of the sixth seal is the great earthquake and all the events related to that, which ends the chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. Those are related to the day of the Lord. Then we saw the past 2 weeks that we have preached on this passage, the beginning of chapter 6, as it speaks about the 144,000 Israelites that are sealed for protection for their work and ministry, so that they are protected not only from the enemy, which we'll talk about today, but they are also protected even through the great judgments that God brings against the world at that time. And so the winds are held back so that they are sealed before the winds can start blowing and bring judgment upon the world. Now, finally, we come to this portion that begins in verse 9 and finishes out chapter 7. And this will finish out the sixth seal. And this is of a great multitude that is saved through the great tribulation. We'll talk more about this multitude next week. What we want to zero in on today is the aspect of the Great Tribulation and what that means in the timeline of the future. But as we look at the sixth seal again as a whole, we see it starting off with a picture of Earth with the great earthquake. Continue to see the picture of Earth with the second portion with the sealing of the 144,000 as they are kept safe from the judgments brought against the earth. And then now in this latter portion, we have a picture again of heaven. The multitude is standing before the throne again with the four living creatures and the Lamb and the elders all present, and the angels present as well. So a change of the scene that we are witnessing. And as we've said several times already, the first portion of the sixth seal starts with the very end of the tribulation, the 7 years, with the second coming of Christ. And then the second portion goes to the beginning of the tribulation, where the judgments of God during the 7 years haven't even started yet until the 144,000 are sealed. And then finally, we're seeing again this latter portion that we're talking about involving the Great Tribulation and the great multitude that comes through the Great Tribulation. So we are talking about the latter portion of the 7 years of tribulation and those that are brought through that time. So again, the end of the tribulation. And it's also good as we reflect upon this passage to also remember the fifth seal and how the sixth seal that we are talking about and have been talking about answers to the souls of those under the altar that were crying out for vengeance in the fifth seal. The souls were crying out for vengeance because they were killed by the men of this world, and God told them to be at peace for the time until the time that all their brethren that were to be killed would also join them. And so as we think upon the sixth seal, we see the vengeance of God that the souls were crying out for, starting in the sixth seal with the great day of the Lord, the judgment that he brings down upon the earth and the great earthquake in the first part of the sixth seal. In the second part of the sixth seal, we see the winds held off, which again are the judgments of God. But we see the 144,000 that are sealed and protected through that time. And so there are those of the people of God that will not, in a sense, join those souls of the martyrs because they will not be martyred. They will actually be protected through the tribulation period. But their number is is not an infinite number, only 144,000. And those, certainly there are others that survive the time of the tribulation. They do not receive the mark as these 144,000 do. And then the latter portion again that we are beginning to talk about, this then are those, the great multitude, much of which we must assume are the martyrs that come through the tribulation time. As we'll see, they are also given the white robes, just like the martyrs of the fifth seal were given. Are they all martyrs? Are some of them those that survived the tribulation, still being alive, hiding through that time, enduring that time? Certainly that is a possibility as well. God shows his mercy and his great salvation. As these in this great multitude say, salvation belongs to the Lord, because ultimately he brings us all through this great tribulation time, to the time of the salvation, to the resurrection, to eternal life thereafter. It is the wisdom of God that he chooses to bring some through suffering and some seemingly living out their Christian life at peace and, at least in comparison, without the suffering that others endure. But that is, again, the wisdom of God to do as he so chooses. This great multitude comes through the great tribulation, praising God for their salvation. Many people from many nations. Again, in the coming weeks, we'll talk about this great multitude. But what I wanted to focus on today instead is the fact of the Great Tribulation, what that indicates. So if we go down to verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So the great tribulation. We use this term to refer to the second part of the 7 years of tribulation. So there's 7 complete years of tribulation. And the second half we call the Great Tribulation. If we go back to Daniel chapter 9, 70 weeks of Daniel, where he is given a vision of the future events, including the rebuilding of Jerusalem, including Christ's death for us. But the prophecy takes us all the way until the end of the tribulation, when the temple will be again anointed and purified and ready for the millennial time. So Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 is what we want to focus on, where it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The reference to he, maybe we should just go back to verse 26. Let's go back to 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah, Jesus Christ, be cut off by dying on the cross, but not for himself, as he dies for us, not because he deserved to die. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The prince that is to come is the Antichrist and his people, presumably the Arab people, were involved in the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. The flood being a huge army that is used to defeat the city, the Roman army. And so the end of the war, desolations are determined. This long war that's coming about, which doesn't end until the end of the tribulation, a war between the north and the southern kings, and a war ultimately between God and the enemy of God, which is the devil and the Antichrist. So verse 27, so he shall confirm the covenant, the prince shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week being 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So here it presents the 7 years of the tribulation. At the beginning of the 7 years, there is a peace treaty made between Israel and the nations that this prince, the Antichrist, leads. And then in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years later, he breaks this peace treaty and he causes the sacrifice in the temple to cease. We're going to see that this connection of the sacrifice in the temple is significant for other passages as it relates to what's going on in Jerusalem, more particularly what's going on in the temple, as even the not only the sacrifice stops, but also the abomination of desolations is set up. So some significant details that this short passage teaches us. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And so the temple is desolate. Jerusalem will be desolate. As we'll see from another passage, the Gentiles are able to roam freely and tread down Jerusalem throughout this 3.5 year time under the leadership of the Antichrist. And partly because Christ has told the Israelites to flee as soon as you see the armies gathered against you. Flee to the mountains. And so all the righteous and the holy people have scattered to the mountains, leaving Jerusalem desolate for 3.5 years of any righteous people. And then finally, the consummation comes with the temple being anointed at that time. The temple is the desolate, that which was left desolate 3.5 years ago, and it's anointed to be used again. And I believe that that ultimately refers to the heavenly temple and the New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven at that time. So this passage speaks about the great tribulation in the sense of it's began by the Antichrist who breaks the covenant of peace and also stops the sacrifice. So now let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We have read Matthew 24 several times now in relation to the seals, the seven seals of Revelation. And it continues to have pretty significant connection to these seven seals, as we will see, even making reference to the Great Tribulation that we're talking about. So Matthew chapter 24, let's begin with verse 15. And again, this is the beginning of this 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation that Revelation 7 is talking about. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Abomination being an idol, which is an abomination to God. and an abomination of desolation, because the idol causes the whole city ultimately to be desolate of the righteous, and certainly the temple to be desolate of the righteous. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. The wording of the sixth seal in Revelation is right here in Matthew 24, Christ's words. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen beginning of the since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That description in itself very significant, as we'll see it in other passages, that there is absolutely no tribulation that has ever happened against the people of God that can be compared to this great tribulation, hence the name Great Tribulation, that is yet to come against them, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And so shortened to specifically 3.5 years that they are shortened to. And they are shortened for the time of the elect's sake, which is us, but also includes that great multitude in the sixth seal that comes through the great tribulation. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and so forth. And so, this time of great tribulation is shortened, and it's completed at the time when Christ shall come, the great earthquake shall occur, and the people of God shall be saved. It is a time when there will be false Christs and false prophets, even as the book of Revelation speaks about specifically the Antichrist and his false prophet, that leads people into believing he is a Messiah. There will obviously be others besides just those two particular men. Nevertheless, we see what Revelation is speaking about when it speaks about this great tribulation. It encompasses this latter half of the 3.5 years and is marked by, again, the removal of the peace treaty, the ending of the daily sacrifices, and the setting up of the abomination of desolation in the temple. Now let's turn to the parallel passage in Mark chapter 13. And in this passage, I just wanted to focus specifically on what it says concerning the Great Tribulation. Mark 13, verse 19, where it says, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, neither shall be, and except that the Lord had shortened these days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. And so similar language to what Matthew communicated, but the time of this tribulation is going to be shortened for the elect's sake. Now let's go to Luke 21. Luke is often using a little different language than Matthew and Mark, at least in this passage here, relating to the future events. And so helpful for us to understand even a greater picture of what these 3.5 years look like. So Luke 21, verse 20 is where we'll start. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." So a reference again to the desolation, when Jerusalem shall be desolate of the people of God, but also to the armies of the Antichrist that he brings as he breaks the peace treaty and attacks the capital city. So verse 21, "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." So there it calls these days, days of vengeance. Certainly vengeance upon the people of Israel. Vengeance that the Antichrist and his armies and his nations rise up against Israel because they hate Israel so much. And certainly we see that animosity even today as they try to broker a peace between the Arabs and Israel. But even to this day, they're not able to come to a successful peace treaty because of that animosity. And ultimately, we see that that animosity will break this peace treaty as they come in the days of vengeance, as it characterizes these days. So verse 22 again, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So this again is characterized by the Gentiles having control of the city, and by the people, the Israelites, and maybe Christians involved as well, but they fall by the edge of the sword and they're led away captive from the land. So you have the people fleeing for their lives to the mountains, and you have those that aren't able to get away, either dying by the sword or being led away captive. A time of great tribulation. And then verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Much again of what the book of Revelation shows us of the great horrors during this tribulation period that God brings against the nations of this world. Let us also go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 in the Old Testament. Zechariah 14 is just one of many other passages that we hopefully we'll get a chance to eventually look at. But Zechariah 14 certainly falls into this time of the beginning of the tribulation, when it says in verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And so this is a time both of defeat, of fleeing away, of captivity, but also of God's protection, as we shall see, upon those that survive this initial attack. And so we see the beginning of the tribulation. We see the duration of the Great Tribulation being only 3.5 years, and ultimately the victory of Christ at the end of the tribulation and of the great multitude that we see in the sixth seal, their victory because of what God ultimately will bring for his people. To conclude today's sermon, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, where it says, "Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jacob's trouble is a reference to these 3.5 years of great tribulation. And there will, as we've seen from other passages, that there will be no tribulation time like it before or thereafter. "But he shall be saved out of it." Verse 8, "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them, Jesus Christ. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." And so in part, this great tribulation may be considered the punishment of God upon the Israelites for their rejection of him. But ultimately, God's plan is to save them even through this time of trouble, tribulation. And so we see the great multitude that comes out of the great tribulation praising God and saying, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." This is our ultimate hope. In this world, we will have tribulation. Christ has said so, and we must to some degree expect it to come. We have been granted much peace and much mercy, and by the grace of God, it will not come to us personally. But we have to remember that it is currently coming against the people of God in this world. They are a part of the body of Christ with us, and their sufferings is in part our sufferings as well. And there will be this time, which is very clear in Scripture, that there will be Christians suffering under the hand of the Antichrist. And we must be ready, be prepared to be faithful to God no matter what comes in the future. And what will come in the future is ultimately the salvation of the Lord. He will save Israel. He will save all of his people. And even though the nations that he punishes at that time will cease to exist, Israel will never cease to exist. Our future is secure in Christ, in the mighty King that shall come victorious one day and set up his kingdom for us to dwell in forever and ever. What a great hope we have, even in the midst of the present troubles and distress we may face.